Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
And by have to be patient, I really do mean that you have to be. Not because you're stuck here listening to me and it would be potentially socially awkward to get up and leave, but because patience is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Not only is it one characteristic of it, but it just so happens that it is the outflowing of the Spirit in our lives that we are going to look at today. Today is our fifth week in our Fruit of the Spirit series. Galatians 5:22 is where we are spending our summer as we contemplate some of the results of the Spirit working in and through our lives. This past Sunday, Doug spoke on peace. Doug reminded us that peace is not characterized by noise, worry, uncertainty, fear, unrest, or conflict, but it is instead made up of calm, certainty, courage, harmony, and agreement. All things that we would definitely attribute to and see in God. God himself is peace, and in God there is where wholeness and harmony are found. Doug pointed out that peace is accessible by all, and that comes from our relationship with an all-powerful Jesus. Peace is also found spilling from our lives, those who live in the Spirit, into the lives of others. Finally, Doug challenged us to let our community be a place of peace, and that we, as people of the Spirit, are to be peacemakers to the world. Today, though, we are going to focus on patience. Patience is a very practical topic. For most of us, our patience is tried every single day. Patience or long-suffering, being spoken about in church, is not something that would surprise many of us. Hopefully, we have experienced the community or individuals of Christ showing patience to others. Many of us have been benefiting from patience our whole lives. Our first experience with patience usually happens before we are even born. After we are conceived, we have 9 months to grow and hopefully thrive, completely dependent on our mothers. Despite the fact that we are kicking, punching, headbutting, and completely living off of these amazing ladies, they patiently endure us. But it does not stop there. We then enter our preschool years, where our parents or caregivers then patiently walk with us through sleepless nights, dirty diapers, wet beds, and food being demanded and rejected, sometimes simultaneously, and food being thrown and thrown up. From there, we enter our grade school years, where we explore the world around us and learn the basics. Our teachers patiently read with us. They explain the basics of mathematics over and over, and for some of us, over again. We then enter our teen years, and everyone, and I mean everyone who is in any contact with us, patiently deals with hormones, odd smells, awkward comments, and moodiness that absolutely defies logic. And finally, we enter adulthood. But being the recipients of patience does not end. Those we work with patiently endure us. Our roommates put up with us. And possibly even our spouses put up with us. And oddly enough, in a twist of life, our children put up with us. You see, patience has, does, and will affect every one of us in this room. So knowing that, why is God concerned with patience? And why are we encouraged to cultivate patience in our lives? How does patience begin to take root and flourish in our lives as we choose to live submitted to the Holy Spirit? Patience is not only received by us from others. On a much grander and powerful scale, we experience patience from God. God is patient. The fruit of the Spirit is not evidenced in our lives simply because it just happens. It is not a random life experience that is created by our culture or psychological makeup. Instead, it is evidenced in our lives because it is God Himself in the Spirit renewing us to be like Him. It is us experiencing the character of God through others, or seeing the character of God being revealed through others, through ourselves, sorry. God is patient. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, we join the story of Moses leading the Israelites through the desert. The Israelites have stopped at Mount Sinai, and Moses has gone up the mountain to meet with God. But the Israelites get tired of waiting, or they are impatient. And they decide to make an idol out of gold because they assume that Moses has either died or abandoned them. God sees this idol being made and considers destroying the Israelites, but he does not, because he has or is patience. Isn't this so typical of us as humans? I will give the Israelites some credit. Moses was gone for 40 days. However, they could look up the mountain and see that the summit looked like it was consumed with fire, which was the glory of the Lord. How many times do we ask God, but we lose patience with waiting for the answer? And so we move on and we make an answer for ourselves. Anyway, through all of this, Moses requests to see God's presence. God's presence is His character, His nature, and His way of relating to His creatures. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 says, "Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him," him being Moses. "And he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, 'Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin.'" God declares himself to be patient, to relent from destruction. God himself steps back from anger and believes the best of us. This is shown again in the story of the Apostle Peter. Peter is a great guy. He's friendly, welcoming, always ready for life. Peter is passionate in just about everything that he does. This is great, except for a problem. The problem is that when Peter fails, he fails big. He says the wrong things. He denies knowing Jesus. There is even a time when one day he says one thing and the next day he does something completely opposite of what he said the next day or the previous day. However, did Jesus give up on him? Did Jesus not continue with Peter through those difficult times? Did Jesus ever stop loving Peter? Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." He sees our mistakes, but does more than just relent from destruction. He offers us the possibility of forgiveness. This is patience. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." Have you ever experienced somebody who is so passionate about what they do that they are amazingly patient in helping you to understand it, just because they want you to be able to experience it for yourself? When I was a child, like many of us, I took piano lessons. As I progressed in my training, the amount of practice required increased. Unfortunately, this increase in practice time required for the piano coincided with the time of life that I was a teenager and beginning to experience the ability to do what I wanted when I wanted. I was supposed to practice for an hour a day. This happened from time to time, but nowhere near regularly. I was more interested in sports, cars, girls. Anyway, I didn't practice. My poor teacher, she loved music. She wanted so much for me to experience the joy that playing the piano could bring to my life. She could see potential in me. She knew that I had the ability to do it. I just wasn't motivated. For years, my teacher struggled through trying to motivate me to put the proper practice time in so that I could reach the next level. I'm sorry to say, it never happened. But that teacher was patient. She endured the many times that I did not reach the goals that she had set out for me. God sees the potential in us, just like my piano teacher saw the potential in me. He is the one who created us in His image, and He longs for us to discover true life in Him. And He patiently endures our disobedience and rebellion so that we will come to the point of realizing that our own constructions of life will not fulfill us. So what do we do with this? We have a God who says, I am patient, and says that if we live surrendered to Him, patience will mark our lives. So what if it doesn't? And if it doesn't, what do we do about it? First of all, live surrendered to the Spirit of God in your life. I suppose that there are two perspectives on this. The first is of those who are still exploring Christianity. You haven't made any commitments, aren't quite sure what it is all about, but you are curious and simply exploring. I would encourage you to keep listening, keep exploring, keep experiencing. The second perspective would be those that have submitted their lives to Christ and have begun the journey of Christianity. We are all at different places in that journey, but desire to have the Spirit of God living through us and evidenced in our lives. When we speak of the fruit of the Spirit, it is important to remember that one characteristic is dependent on the others. You will not be patient without self-control. Patience does not happen without love. You will not be able to patiently persevere without faithfulness or peace. Patience cannot be enacted without kindness, goodness, and joy being evidenced in your life. So if you're now sitting here, listening to that list, and thinking to yourself, this is ridiculous. There is no way that I have the capacity to consistently move in all of those things. I would say to you, congratulations. You're beginning to understand fruit of the Spirit at a deeper level. It's not about you doing these things. They are simply a byproduct of a different choice in your life. A choice to choose to live according to the Spirit rather than the flesh. Earlier in Galatians 5, Paul writes, "What will be evidenced in the life that lives according to the flesh?" But we are moving in the other direction. We are moving towards the Spirit and attempting to choose to live according to the Spirit. I was reminded of this last week as I sat with my family in a traffic jam, returning home from an afternoon in Abbotsford. It was just past the hill on the west side of the Mount Lehman exit. We zoomed by the exit, and right as we came up the hill a bit, all we saw were brake lights. We came to a dead stop. We weren't even 500 meters past the exit, but the next one wasn't until 264th Street, still kilometers away. Our three daughters were in the back, and after about a minute of sitting there, a little voice from the back asked, "Why aren't we going anywhere?" And then another voice, "Are we going to be home soon?" And then another voice, "I'm bored." And then my wife asked, why didn't we just listen to the traffic report on the radio? Then the youngest began to whimper discontently, and I could feel my blood pressure beginning to rise. So I turned around in the van and I said, everybody, just be quiet. I'm just kidding. That's not what I did. You can relax. No, what I actually did is I began to think about how impatient we get over things that are totally out of our control, and often that were blessings in the first place. Can I control that somebody drove into the ditch 20 minutes before we got there? Can I control where the traffic backs up to? No. However, can I be thankful that we have a freeway to drive on and a comfortable vehicle? Although that could be argued we drive a Pontiac minivan. But the fact that we have a comfortable vehicle to sit in? No. At that moment, all we could do was sit back, crank the VeggieTales tunes, and choose to be thankful for what we have and not bitter about what we don't have. That little decision in traffic is all about choosing to live in the spirit rather than in the flesh. Patience is one of the things that our culture needs the most. Our culture says that everyone is replaceable. But this is a lie. You are not replaceable. No one is exactly like you. Sure, someone may be able to do your job, but no one can love your family like you. No one can evidence God in your circle of influence like you can. Patience with one another says, I see the image of God in you. Patience says, I believe in you. Patience says, you are not replaceable. God created you uniquely, and I value that. Because patience is of the Spirit, one of the greatest ways to reflect God to those around you is to be patient. This is not an easy task. We all lose our patience from time to time. But this morning is a great time to remind ourselves that even by doing something as simple as keeping our cool is a witness to others that we are submitted to God. So those who manage others at their jobs, be patient with others. To those who work in customer service, be patient with others. To those who play on sports teams or compete with or against others, be patient with others. And don't forget to be patient with yourself. Nobody is perfect, so cut yourself some slack. Each day is a new day, so take it as it comes. Choose to live in the Spirit, and when you mess up, repent. Remind yourself of why you choose to live in the Spirit, and begin anew. I begin to lose my patience with my daughters all the time. Cleaning up the toys doesn't happen as quickly as I think it should. Baby stays awake for an hour in the middle of the night. Or the girls decide that after a long, hard day of work, what daddy needs the most is a good tickle from all three girls. And this is definitely not what daddy needs. Those girls are small, but they've got me outnumbered. I usually know that I'm on the edge when my wife shoots me the "what is up with you" look. Give yourself some slack. Be patient even with yourself. As we come to the end, I want to remind you that what we are talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. Patience will be evidenced in your life because you have chosen to submit to the work of the Spirit in your life. So continue to cultivate the Spirit's work. Take the little things in life and make them an opportunity to listen to the Spirit. I was driving my daughter to her soccer practice about a month ago, and we were pulling into the parking lot at the school where her practices were held. And there's two entrances. The one entrance said, no entry. And the one said, entry. And so we're sitting, waiting in a line to get into the parking lot. And the vehicle behind us decided they were going to be impatient and pulled in through the no entry and parked. We meanwhile waited. And by the time we got into the parking lot, there are no spots left. And we had to go to a different lot. Being ever observant, my daughter piped up from the back seat, "Daddy, why didn't you just go in where that other guy did?" "Well, because the sign said that we're not allowed to." "But he did it, and he got a parking spot." Good point. But sometimes that happens. But we need to obey the rules and be patient. You see, that small instance, I made the right choice. And believe me, I hear about it when I make the wrong choice. But that time, I made the right choice. And it turned into an opportunity not only to cultivate the Spirit in my own life, but also in the life of one of my daughters. I would encourage you to do the same. Cultivate the Spirit's work in your life. Look for opportunities for obedience. And celebrate those small choices. They will make a big difference. John chapter 15 verse 4 says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." This is the way the fruit of the Spirit works. If we engage with the Spirit, choosing the way of the Spirit instead of the way of the flesh, we will see the fruit of the Spirit. I would love to see our community as one, as being characterized by patience. This will only happen, however, if we continue to press into life in the Spirit. I would like nothing more than to see us moving forward in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you are thinking through this message, or one of the others that have been taught, and you're having trouble either seeing how this works out in your life or understanding something about that message, we would love to speak with you more about it. We are a community that is not afraid of questions or dialogue. So I'll be available after this service to talk with you, as will Darcy or Leanne, or any other church leadership. And I'm sure that anyone that you came with would be willing to talk about it as well. So remember, let's go through our summer remembering that patience is not just something in a cute kid's song, but it is within the very nature of God. Thank you.